You are now listening to
Chakras and Shotguns. Welcome back to Chakras and Shotguns, episode 47. I'm Jen.
And I'm Mick. Welcome back. So, how are you doing?
I have senioritis.
Mm.
I've kind of talked about it before, but I am trying to make my exit ramp from my corporate job. And I was telling Mick, I was like, I just don't feel like doing anything. I don't care about none of these calls. I'm like that Asian doll song. I don't give about none of it. And I was just like, I don't know what this feeling is. Like, I'm so restless. And Mick was like, you have senioritis.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my gosh, it's so true. I was the queen of like hitting the back stairwell to get out of the school. They trying to teach me these last little lessons on economics or whatever. And I was like, girl, I got to go.
We had this rule at my school where if you, like, that last semester of senior year, as long as you had like an 85 average, like across the 6 weeks, like across your like report cards that semester,
yeah,
you didn't have to take your finals. And so I was literally in class just like calculating, okay, what I got to do to get this 85 so I could just be out. Say, I feel you.
Anyway, we talked a little bit about Mercury retrograde. That was a couple of episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the thick of it, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mercury retrograde kicking my ass over here.
I was on Outlook, and every time I try and click on an email, my computer's like, I don't know. And I'd be like, girl, I don't know either. So you better hurry up because I don't want to be sitting here anyway.
I was trying to pay a bill, something that I don't enjoy doing, but the bill had to get paid. And at one point, I thought I was going to have to like go to the bank because I was like, this shit is just not working. Like, it was like the system with the bank was trying to send me one of those codes to like verify that like the recipient who was receiving the funds was like, you know, really like me, you know, trying to verify, make sure nobody was doing some fraud on my account.
Mm-hmm.
And like I would request the little code to come to my phone and it would take like 10 minutes, but the code expired in 10 minutes. And so like I was just in this loop of like not being able to. So yeah, that was my Mercury retrograde frustration.
We hadn't even talked about that lunar eclipse. So it's a lunar eclipse, a total lunar eclipse that happened on May 15th. You might have felt some weird energy. The night before, I usually, it was in hindsight, but I was like, oh, it's a full moon. Because full moon hits my energy so hard. You know when you take a Benadryl, you take NyQuil, and you start to get real drowsy and you kind of feel like you're not spinning, not like you're like way too drunk and you close your eyes and the room's still moving, but like it's kind of like you're in like this wave and you're just like, Lord, I hope I wake up, because Benadryl scares me sometimes. Sometimes when Benadryl about to take me out, I'd be like, I hope this ain't the last time. So y'all might have felt a little bit of that too. So there's just a lot of energy going around.
All right, so do you want to jump into the breath work?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so I'm, again, borrowing something that my wife likes to do when she does the breath work. And it's kind of, you know, talking through some things that are on her mind and she kind of needs to work through. And so for me, I think a lot of thought and energy has been focused on the future. Now, we got some new plans coming. We plan on moving. We got some things just like in the next couple months that my mind just continues to be focused on. And one of my favorite books I've mentioned before, it's called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. It's all about being present in the moment. Really, the present is the only thing that exists. The past is simply a memory and the future is just a mental projection. So this moment that we're in right now is all that exists and all that we should try to live in.
Mm.
And so for this breath work, I want to work on that.
Okay.
To help us with our mindfulness today, I want us to do a little bit of a meditation where we focus on one of our chakras. And I've chosen the third eye chakra for today. So let's all sit up straight, close our eyes, and we'll start with a couple of nice, slow, grounding breaths.
So let's inhale through our nose and exhale through our mouth. One more time. Inhale through your nose and exhale through your mouth. Now that we're grounded, let's take our awareness, our focus, our concentration, and bring it to the center of our forehead, where our Ajna, or third eye, is located. Continue breathing, and as we focus here, dismiss gently any other thoughts that come into your mind. We want all our focus to just be here on the third eye. We're just going to hold this focus for the next 20 to 30 seconds, starting now. Alright, let's all take a nice deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Slowly open your eyes, and hopefully this little exercise helps you to just be more present in the moment and feel more grounded. You can try this anytime. You're feeling overwhelmed, your thoughts are racing, and you need to just come back to your body. You can focus on any of your chakras or any body part. And just breathe and hold your concentration there. All right, we'll get back to the show.
Thanks, Meg. I've been thinking on how we perceive time as linear, like this happens, and that comes next. And how that's a limited view of time, that everything's happening at the same time. And while that blows my mind sometimes, sometimes it does help me stay present, because I don't know. I think it's like that's the only thing that you can really focus on. That's all that you have control over, mm-hmm. is this very moment. And what could you be missing if you're not in the moment? Mm. Want to get into the main topic?
Yes, let's do that. So we have a guest today. We are welcoming a brother to the show who is full of self-defense, tactical training, and home defense knowledge. He goes by the nickname O. A little bit about O. Back in 2001, O began his journey as a fitness and drill instructor for the United States Air Force. He did several combat tours until he separated from the Air Force in 2008, and then he started his company, Body by O, where his primary focus is general fitness, self-defense, and firearms training. He offers classes in personal training, beginner to advanced firearms, and even elite security and SWAT courses. Along with his wife, Tasha, who goes by the Tactical Social Worker, they also offer women's self-defense classes. Lastly, O is a member of the greatest fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha. Jen and I have trained with both O and his wife, Tasha, on a few occasions, and we highly recommend them.
Yeah. So one note before we get into the interview, this interview with O was actually before the terrible mass shooting in Buffalo, New York that just happened. If you're not familiar with the story, an 18-year-old man went into a grocery store in Buffalo and murdered 10 people and injured 3 others. It's looking like a premeditated hate crime, with the murderer being white and having white supremacist manifestos and presence on social media. The neighborhood where the grocery store was predominantly black, and 11 of the victims were Black. It's an awful, awful story. Every time one of these stories happens, it's terrible and just breaks my heart. Like, there were grandparents in there and like people who really gave to their communities. And even if they didn't, they deserve to live their life to the fullest. And this person full of hate decided that they were going to just take someone's life away. And it's just god awful. So while we didn't get a chance to talk to O about this specific story, we definitely get into protecting ourselves and our communities. And honestly, that's what we really wanted for this podcast. And that's what Shockers and Shotguns is all about, is a holistic view of how can we protect ourselves. And that includes physically.
All right. So we'll get into the interview, guys. We hope you enjoyed this conversation with O. So what's up, O, man? How you doing?
Man, loving life, man. Just, I can't complain a bit. It's been amazing. Birthday was Friday.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Turned
to be happy belated, yeah.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate it. How y'all doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good, man. We're really appreciative to, you know, have you here on the show with us. You know, come in, drop some knowledge, talk to folks about why it's important to, you know, get their home defense training and self-defense training up. So, glad to have you.
Definitely, man. Let's do it. Let's get to the meat and potatoes.
All right. Well, before we get started, let's just give the audience a little introduction to who you are. You know, tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, O, the owner of Body by O, Body by O Technical, a co-founder of Academy, a co-founder of Community Security. Started many, many years ago in 2000 as an instructor in the Air Force. I was separated from the Air Force in 2008. Started an independent business in 2009 in Shreveport, Louisiana, just a fitness side. Didn't really have the amenities to do the firearm stuff like I do here in Texas and Louisiana. So did that for a few years, and then we expanded. We branched out to Monroe, Louisiana, then we branched out to Dallas. But then when I brought the fitness campaign to Dallas, I was like, yo, they can do gun stuff for real in Texas. So I started doing that as well. So that started in 2015 right here in Dallas, and it's been up ever since, man.
Dope. So I think some of our listeners, especially the ones that come in on the chakra side, they're dipping their toe into the shotgun side. They might not have had any type of prior relationship with firearms, especially like growing up as kids. It might have, you know, even if there was a firearm in the home, maybe they didn't even know that it was there. Like Mick and I talk about, like, my mom had a gun and I didn't even know it was there until I was an adult. Right. So what was your experience with firearms growing up?
Firearms growing up, it was a thing, okay, because I did grow up in Florida in the South, right? And, you know, my granddad was a World War II veteran. You know, my dad was a cop. So firearm safety was a thing. Guns weren't taboo in my house. Believe it or not, to preface everything you hear me say today, the background of my household. Of course, my dad was the first Black cop, first Black pilot in Central Florida. My mom was one of the historical Black Panthers at Dillard University in 1972. So, you know, the conversations in my house, my upbringing, are still extremely explosive, right? So, understanding both sides, the defense of the community, and then law enforcement, those were the two perspectives that I had a firearm. So I definitely understand all sides when it comes down to defending yourself from who, what, when, where, why, and how. So, yeah.
Interesting. Can you tell us a little bit more about your mom's perspective? I think I have a pretty good understanding of how your dad would feel in terms of firearms and self-defense, but talk to us a little bit about like what your mom may have.
Oh, it's easy.
Yeah.
My mom was like, F the police. My dad is like, babe, I'm trying to fix it. Mom's like, hurry up, because it's stupid. That's the conversation, bro. Like, that's, it is what it is. And believe it or not, now my dad, I can't not give him his props. He did his thing to the point where me and my best friend really pretty much had a falling out over social media years ago when the whole police brutality thing came about, because she didn't understand that police brutality was a thing. Because from the moment we were in middle school, my dad was at least a sergeant at the sheriff's department. And it was to the point in the county, them cops didn't do nothing until he got there. They would literally stand by their cars in the Black community until he got there, legitimately. So we didn't know police brutality like it is today. So most of us growing up in that area, because again, Sergeant Oliver ain't gonna let that go down. So what are you guys talking about? Now, to put things into perspective, yes, my dad did retire in 2010, right? He retired as a captain in 2010. There has not been any Black officer since my dad left Lake County. And he is the only Black officer to come through Lake County to this day. And he's been retired for 12 years. Just to put that into perspective, you see what I'm saying? Because, I mean, the system is a system. Now, we can't negate that. The system is a system. At the same time, we have to have someone in the system willing to make the sacrifice to shut things down. With that being said, if we don't have other people in place to pick up the mantle, carry the baton, so to say, the system is going to shut it down when nobody else comes through with that. You see what I'm saying? Because he did definitely make notes. He definitely made notes.
I think the other interesting thing, as I was thinking about your background, Jen and I were kind of talking, we talked before about kind of the complicated history that this country has had when it comes to Black people and serving in the military, where we have historically wanted to fight for the country, fight for our rights, kind of earn our keep. But at the same time, we have not received the treatment that should be given to someone who's willing to risk their life for the country. And so I just would love to hear more about, you know, your time in the military, your thought process about being in the military, if there was ever any internal conflict about being, you know, Black in the military. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to break it down like this, and I'm going to give you my mom's perspective and then the speech that she gave both me and my brother. Whether we like it or not, the most powerful government in the world right now is the United States military, correct?
Yep.
Go to countries. This is a nice country you got. Be crying shame if someone took it type situation, right? With that being said, my mom told me and my brother, get in there, get all the information you can, and bring it back to the people. With that mindset and that perspective, that question itself means absolutely nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because I'm not here to be catered to. I'm not here to be treated nice. I'm not here to rub elbows and yes, the master. I'm here to learn a thing, bring that thing back to my community. Because at the end of the day, if you want me to be a good troop, there's a lot of stuff you got to teach me. And the better I am at those things that you teach me, the more you're going to teach me because you want to give me more responsibility now. So I think, now this is the 1972 Black Panther talking in 2022. We're spending more time trying to throw me something, Mr. What are you going to do for me, than learning what we need to learn to do it for ourselves. I made a horrible post on Facebook and everybody got angry with me. And the question was, if you feel like we're mistreated and being hunted in the streets, why don't you train to not be hunted?
It's very much the energy of one of my favorite books, The Spook Who Sat by the Door.
That is my favorite book.
I'm not surprised by that.
That's my favorite book because that's what he did. He didn't care. Vietnam, whatever. I came back here to do a thing. And I went to learn the thing from the best people on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. How do we know they're the best at it on the planet? Because they take over the rest of the planet. You understand?
Right.
So, I'll say this. Unpopular opinion. We will not liberate our people until we learn to not be dependent on our oppressors.
I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion. I don't think we have been able to detach ourselves in the right way to be able to execute that idea. I think a lot of people believe that, but the execution piece is where we've been lacking.
I think I was going to say, I don't think it's unpopular. It's probably really scary because the structure is the structure. I can operate within this structure. It's what I know. It's what my mama knew, my daddy, my grandma. And, you know, how am I supposed to operate outside of that?
Huge. Huge. Because, okay, this is what broke my heart one year. And I said, hey, man. And I was talking to an elder. This really broke my heart. I said, hey, man, we need to do another Black Wall Street.
Mm.
Another Tulsa. We need to just do it. And you know what his reply was? Nah, we do that. They just going to come burn it down again. What? It doesn't make sense to me. Because what was Black Wall Street missing?
The ability to defend itself.
A militia. They're missing a militia. I literally watched a special. Called Men Who Built America. It's a History Channel thing, right? And Carnegie steel manufacturer, and his dependent, but his partner, Frick, he hired a private militia to keep the people out of his factory. And they were larger than the military itself. The problem is, we have to understand a few concepts that deem success in this area of revolution. If Black folks don't go to the military, where are they going to learn what they need to know?
I got you. You want to move over and talk a little bit about some firearm training?
Sure, let's do it.
So how did you, you know, first decide? I think you talked a little bit in the beginning about coming to Texas. And so how did you kind of first decide, hey, I'm going to offer these specific offerings for firearm training, and I'm going to target these types of people to bring it to them? Like, what was your thought process behind that?
Literally going right back to where the topic we just left. My mom said, get it in, get everything you can, and bring it back to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So who needs firearm training the most? The people that say they're oppressed the most. So here we are. So the only hurdle between that in our place called there is us coming to sign up and train to do what we're supposed to.
So, you came by our house.
Yeah.
Did home defense training with us. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to create a home defense offering? Like, most people are like, I got my Ring cameras. I got Simply Safe or ADT. Not enough? So let's talk a bit about that.
Home defense is important because that's where you're most vulnerable. That's where you're most vulnerable. There, second to that would be gas station and then grocery store, right? When you're out in the general populace, it's on your head, my shoulder. Who is that, right? But when you go home, you take your gun off, you put it there, and then you walk to the other side of the house. So in the event somebody kicks in that door, they're in between you and your gun now. Hold on, Mr. Bad Guy, while you're at the front door, let me go get my strap and come back and handle business. And that's a huge thing. Majority of us literally get caught with our pants down at home because that's a place that we feel safe. Well, because you've been fed an illusion that your home is a fortress, and it is not. Only thing that Ring camera is going to do is help the police, who are first responders, identify who has already killed you by the time they get there. You can probably name on one hand in the last 10 years how many cops showed up in the middle of a home invasion. Mm-hmm. If you can find one at all, right?
Yeah. The average response time, you know, depending on what city you're in, you're talking 12, 13 minutes.
Right. And a good criminal, that's not really a way to say that, but someone who's trying to kick your door down, who has got good experience in kicking doors down, can kick your door down and get to the further side of the house in a matter of seconds. So it is extremely important because that's where we lack the most situational awareness.
There is often a lot of debate back and forth in kind of the firearm community about what's the best weapon for home defense. You know, there's some folks who say it's got to be a shotgun. Some say it's a handgun. What do you have an opinion? What are your thoughts on that?
I sure do. The best weapon for home defense is the weapon that you're most proficient with. In most cases, you're going to be most proficient with the weapon that you carry around with you all day, because in most cases, you're outside of the home most of the day, right? So if you're outside of the home most of the day and you have your subcompact on you, that's what you're going to go to in a contingency outside the general populace, right? When you're out in the general populace, you're going to be in places that you're not so familiar with, right? But when you're home, you're most familiar. So why wouldn't that be your weapon of choice? Less to think about. But if your shotgun that's in the house that you very, very rarely train with, that's in the corner, and bad guy kicks the door in, you're going to reach for that shotgun. Okay. When's the last time you practiced with that shotgun?
So you have the gun that is your favorite gun. You're most proficient with it. What are the most important things to think about when it comes to defending your home now that you have a weapon that you're training with regularly? And you want to just kind of start thinking about, what do I really need to focus on here?
All right. So here's a theory. Make sure that gun is within arm's reach at all times, right? And then people are going to say, oh my God, well, what kind of, I don't want to live in a place where I got to keep my gun near me all the time at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. That is fair. That means that you need to have multiple guns in different areas of the house so that you can get to a gun that need be, you know, as fast as possible. Do you know when you're going to get a home invasion? No, you don't. If you live in a nice neighborhood, are you more prone to have home invasion than a bad neighborhood? Yeah. Right? The only home invasions that actually happen, quote unquote, in the hood is the dope boy house. Because dope boys, in most cases, known to have, you know, a lot of cash laying around. But if we're going to do a home invasion, if three of us want to do a home invasion right now, we're going to Highland Park. We're not doing Oak Cliff. We're not doing Louisville. We're not going, no, we're going to Highland Park. We're going to get lit.
We're going to be efficient.
We're going to be efficient. We're going to hit the first house, going to set us up, and we good. We ain't got to do this for another 6 months. You know what I'm saying? But certain areas, in Dallas, we're going to have to do this shit every day. No. We did all that for $20. No. And then we got to split it three ways. No, I'm not doing it. You got to think. You got to think like a bad guy.
Now, that's a good point. I've had some friends ask me, like, so how many guns do you own? I'm like, we got about 5-6 in the house. They're like, what? Why do you got so many?
Yeah, my answer is all of them. I own all of them. What's funny, let me tell you something funny. You know, the news, oh my God, he had 2 guns and 1,000 rounds of ammunition. And me and Tasha was like, we shoot 1,000 rounds every weekend in training. That guy sucks. So to put things into perspective, right? But guess what? Like you said, the general populace, they don't know. Think about it. To them, 1,000 rounds is a lot of ammunition. But if I do a class that requires 300 rounds, your third class, you tapped out. So how many guns? How many guns do you need? Bare minimum. Every able body in that house needs to have all three, or at least a pistol and a rifle.
When he says all three, he means pistol, rifle, and shotgun, right?
Yes, I apologize. Yes, pistol, rifle, and shotgun. There needs to be at least one shotgun in the house. That is fair. Okay, but you do need all platforms, and you need 1,000 rounds per gun.
Even outside of firearms and just thinking about home defense in general, I don't know if you saw this story that was in the news. This woman came home from vacation to her apartment,
mm-hmm.
and it had been cleared out.
Yeah.
And a couple was sleeping in her bed.
Yeah.
Okay. And he was walking her around, showing her, like, this window don't have a lock. You should. Yeah.
You need to upgrade your shit next time I come in here.
I feel like he was doing your job, like walking him around the house.
I've been here for 2 weeks and you ain't got you.
Like, thankfully she wasn't home, but still.
No. When I saw that story, I was like, okay. When she got home, that's the important part. The bad guy was like, hey, boo, no, that's not how that's supposed to be. That's not how that's supposed to be. I'm supposed to roll up to my house, notice there's a problem, and I'm pieing corners from the moment I get to the front door. Come on, man. Yeah. But you sitting there eating up everything. You ain't bought no groceries. You finna get dealt with properly.
Yeah, I was a little concerned that she was like, sure, show me around my apartment in the hallway, these two people that I don't know. And
well, the story was she tried to leave and they held her.
That's right. She did try to leave and they were like, you're not going to leave. Which, again, like, it's not going down.
I'd be like, Dallas PD, come pick these fools up off my floor, please. Bring somebody to clean all this shit up. It's holes and blood everywhere. This is a mess. Crazy. But again, guess what? Those things happen because of the lack of training, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lack of training, lack of situational awareness, so on and so forth.
Got it. So one of the things that comes up, you know, with having guns in the home, we are parents and we are parents of young children. And so we are obviously concerned and want to make sure we are safe. What is your advice to parents when it comes to kids and firearms and making sure that, you know, they're safe?
Easy. Parents, maintain a level of consistency. Right? You teach your children not to put the finger in the light socket. You teach your children not to play with the knives in the utensil drawer, right? You teach your children to stay out of the top drawer right next to your bed in your bedroom, don't you? Simple things like that. Okay, hey, but the reality of it is the reason that's an issue it's extremely difficult to teach the baby something that you don't know or something that you're not proficient in. It's hard to teach firearm safety to a baby when you're afraid of guns anyway. Right? And what scares us the most is the things that we know the least about. Make sense? Mm-hmm. So the more proficient you become at firearms, you're going to teach the babies the safety. The more proficient you come at firearms, you're going to learn that, wait a minute, these accidents aren't accidents. They're brought on, they're acts of negligence. Make sense?
Absolutely.
Think about your first course. Your first course, you realize, like, wait a minute, that gun's not going to shoot itself. Whether there's a bullet in the chamber or not, it's not just going to go off because it wants to. It's not going to go off because you pick it up, right? It's not even going to go off just because you pointed at somebody. But it will go off the moment you do what? Pull that trigger. And we also learned how difficult it is, how much discipline it requires not to put your finger inside the trigger guard just by picking it up. You see what I'm saying? So these are things that had to be taught even to as adults coming to Defensive Pistol One, right? Mm-hmm. But the issue we have is because of our own, I'll say lack thereof, level of aptitude in a specific area, we shy away from things, right? The baby come home with homework and need help with her homework. This baby taking AP calculus. Like, wait a minute now. Wait, back in the day, you know, daddy just had to count to 10. Like, wait a minute. This is the new math, right? So we got to get you a tutor, baby. So, and even with that, instead of allowing the child to fail, we're willing to go the extra mile to make sure they have the resources that they need. Hmm. See what I'm saying? We know AP algebra and calculus exists, but we're not afraid of it, but we know we don't know it. Firearms, we're afraid of it because we don't know it. And we've only heard one side of the story, which is the side of the story that they want us to hear versus what we should hear.
So how early would you say you should start?
Literally the same age you teach the baby not to stick your finger in a light socket. Because for whatever reason, there's something in the human psyche that sharp things are impressive, right? Holes, we want to stick fingers in holes because we're kids, right? And guns, they're fascinating, right? Why would you buy your child a water gun and not teach a firearm safety? But because little kids, they're taught to point guns at each other because that's what they see on TV, right? Mm. The reason you have a problem teaching your child firearm safety because your own personal negligence, you let them watch that movie with guns being pointed at you for everybody. And you didn't teach them the reality.
I remember when you came over and we did our home defense training, we talked a little bit about kids and how to teach kids about how to handle a home defense scenario. Yes. Can you share that with the listeners, your perspective on that?
Sure. So what happens in a home defense situation, you want the babies to understand that they need to get to the safest place possible, right? It's just like anything else. It's literally just as simple as potty training. When babies hear the word potty, they know what time it is. I'm going to go in the bathroom. I'm going to sit or stand, depending on how old we are, right? And I'm going to do my thing. Then when I'm done my thing, I'm going to say, Mama, I did my thing. They go, come in here. I went such and such in the potty. They're going to be excited about it, right? So how many reps did that take?
Several.
Queen, there's a lot of grown men can't shoot that thing in the toilet. You're standing right there. Why can't just 2 feet just shoot it in the toilet? You know what I'm saying? So it takes reps, countless amount of reps, right? And it's the same thing. It's an activity, right? How many times did you have to teach your child to properly wash dishes? It's the same thing. How many times did you have to teach them to properly brush their teeth? So on and so forth. Repetition, 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 repetition. The difference between us and children, we see learning new things as adults as tasks. They see it as fun. They're sponges. The first, God knows how many years, I want to say 8 to 10 years of their life, they're just in love with information. Yes, teach me everything. And they're fascinated by everything that they don't know about. They're going to have to learn from the parents later on in life that the things that they don't know, they should shy away from. Make sense? Mm-hmm. The first time your baby asks you to teach them something that you don't know, you say, oh, no, baby, daddy don't know about that, or mama don't know about that, and you shy away from it. You're subconsciously teaching them to shy away from the things that they don't know. Mm. What would this world, what would the community be like if everything that baby asked to learn, mom and dad, that they didn't know, they was like, baby, I don't know, but we're finna go learn together right now. Where would we be as a community? Mm. But we live in a space where if a young man learns anything, he needs to learn it from his dad. What? Or the dad has an ego problem and feels less than a father because his son learns something else from another man. Mm. Oh, if anybody teaches my wife how she's good, it's going to be me. Fool, you can't. Or, well, I'm going to go to a gun class by myself so I can go teach my wife. Bruh, you ain't took one class and passed anything in your life without several classes on the level to even teach somebody else. What the fuck are you talking about?
It's funny you say that because I think those same guys that say that, they wouldn't care if their wife went to a male dentist. Mm. I'm not going to learn how to do teeth so that I can, so that my wife can come to me to get her teeth fixed. You know what I'm saying?
But, and those are things that, that male ego.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to deal with us. That black male ego, in my opinion, is a detriment to our community in a lot of different areas. Right? Truth be told, there are also a lot of black men who are afraid of their queens being better than they are in this area. Because this is supposed to be a male-dominated area. Okay? And I tell guys all the time, you're a freaking idiot. I love the fact that my wife is a beast with her firearm. I love the fact that my wife can outshoot 90% of men out there. Why? Because here's the true concept. Who gonna answer the door? Me. So who's more inclined to get shot first? Me. I need a good shooter to have my back just in case the idiot at the door come with some ruckus. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Look, we went through that two-man house clearing drill with you.
Yeah.
And you realize how vulnerable you are to the blind spots in your house. And so having your wife on your back, and if she's not a good shot, you're going to get hit. You know what I mean?
And I'm a pretty good shot, just FYI.
I will say Jen actually is more accurate than me.
Come on. You know, I'm going to tell you this. And this happened a few weeks ago. Me and Tasha went to the gas station. I'm going to pump gas. And Tasha's going to go in the store and get something. So she walks past this dude. He stops. He flips around. He was like, oh. I'm watching this. I'm like, this boy, he has no idea. Help him, Lord. He walks back in the store behind her. I'm like, this is too much. Needless to say, a few minutes roll by, I'm pumping gas. She walks out, and he walks out behind her. And I thought about it. I said, 30 yards, I'd shoot him in the face. No problem. I got it. And then it hit me. I was like, oh, this dude's going to die. He doesn't know what he's doing. And my wife, he said something, and my wife turned around. Bitch, don't be running up on me. You want some? And I was like, poor man, he's going to get killed. And my heart... In my heart, I wanted to save his life. I was like, yo, not that one. The other one. Harass the other one. And you know, and it's moments like that. And I was just like, that's where we need to be. Does that make sense? Because I am not, my wife is beautiful. She's fine as hell. Hey, I was watching her walk all the way to the desk. Hey, I watch all the time. And I know other people going to look at it in my mind. When we first got together, I was really adamant about getting her trained. But now it's to a point, hey, babe, do me a favor. Start the class, and I'm going to work on this right here. I'll be over there in a minute. So now when we're in the general populace, I'm like, okay. I know she going to pull the trigger before I do. That's a comforting feeling for me to know that in most cases, I will probably have to pull Tasha off somebody. I mean, it is. I mean, I got the insurance lined up. I do. I got the extra stash just in case things go left. And Tasha shoot the place up. But at the end of the day, that took a lot of training.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally a daily thing for us. You know what I'm saying? We dry fire as much as possible. We're at the range training at least once a week. If I don't have a client, she's got a client. So she's literally, she pulls the trigger, I want to say, at least twice a week. On an extremely slow week, she's twice a week.
Let's talk a little bit about training. So obviously this is part of your profession. So you're at the range way more often than the average bear, right?
Every day, yeah.
What would you recommend for someone who's not in your profession? You know, they got a regular 9-to-5, they got kids at home. How often should they be trying to get to the range?
Get to the range as much as you can afford. Okay. I'll say that. I'll be sensitive to that. However, you can train every day. Dry firing is every day.
Can you explain what dry firing is? Because when I found out about it, I was like, oh, I don't have to leave my house?
No. You don't, to a certain degree. Dry firing is literally making sure you have no bullets, ammo, magazine, anywhere near the gun, okay? And you run the cycles of the gun. You draw from your concealment, you punch out, you find a spot on the wall that you got a target on the wall, you pull the trigger using all the fundamentals, you reset that firearm, and you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again. True story, before we leave the house, it's a ritual. It literally takes 15 seconds to practice drawing your firearm. You don't want that moment at the gas station or Walmart or wherever to be the first time you draw your firearm that day. Go pull the trigger, right? Because guess what? The last time you drew your firearm, you had on a different shirt. That shirt weighs a totally different, you know, the thread count of that shirt is different, right? So you want to make sure that what you're doing is not something new to the brain for that day.
And Mick, you have, what is it that you have?
So I have one of those little laser cartridges that goes into the chamber of the firearm and then have one of those little targets on the wall that can receive that laser light. That's, you know, just an added thing you can do when you dry fire to see how accurate you are.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mick and Jen, they have a whole lot of money to spend on things like that. But for those of us who are not in that tax bracket, we're going to dry fire the old way.
Wow.
Wait a minute. No.
It'd be your own people.
It'd be your own people. Anything that is a training aid, I support it. However, at the same time, do what's in your budget. And the reason I do promote dry firing the way I do is simply because it's free. It costs you absolutely nothing. You already bought the gun. From the moment you buy a gun, you got access to training. You just need proper guidance in that. Now, if you are, there's so many things out there that are like that laser one you got. There's one, it costs like $1,000, but it's like a magazine and you load it and it calculates, it puts everything on the computer for you on your Bluetooth. It goes through the roof, right?
Don't give Mick any ideas.
Don't worry.
You know, his birthday coming up, and he's going to be like, have you got my gift yet? You can go ahead and buy me that.
Well, you know the one O was talking about on the podcast? Exactly. He said it only costs $1,000, man. It only costs $1,000. But yeah, there is so many things out there. Now, I will say, if you can afford it, there's no excuse, right? Now, I'll be honest, at that point, the cost of the training aid is going to be more than you come into training anyway. Because at the end of the day, you still need to feel that gun cycle under true compression of that round coming out of that barrel. Mm-hmm. That is the inevitable. Because in order to be proficient at a thing, you have to do the thing.
One question that I had, I feel like if you watch like John Wick and like those types of movies, mm-hmm. like they're always like cleaning their gun. Like, I gotta clean my gun. Like, how often are you really supposed to clean your weapon?
I'll be honest, back in the day, it used to be a lot, but technology and the way the manufacturers are making guns, there are people who go years without cleaning.
Oh. Now,
and then people clean their guns every day. So it's not like it used to be. Not cleaning your gun can eventually cause a malfunction, eventually. However, most people who are thinking, after I have to clean my gun, they don't shoot it enough. They don't even shoot it enough to even think. Of course, we have classes to teach you how to properly care for your gun. However, I teach those courses under the premise that I'm expecting you to shoot your gun often. as a practice. So if you come to me and we do a class like today and it's raining out there, there's mud everywhere, and I got you running the gun and you all over the ground, you dropping bags on the ground, picking up, reloading, doing the whole John Wick thing, right? And your gun's dirty, yes, clean it. You know, clean your shoes, right? You know what I'm saying? So yes, cleaning is a thing. However, it's not like it used to be because of technology, manufacturers, because since the whole Glock came out, and Glock did that demonstration back in the 80s where they put the gun in the mud and put it in the water and then they shot it and it still worked. Manufacturers are making guns a lot more durable to where the debris and buildup doesn't bother them as much. But me, I say have a little bit of class. Have a little bit of class. You don't want the bad guy to catch tuberculosis because you put the gun. Like, what kind of person are you, right? So I have class. I'm not going to spend all that money on a gun and keep it dirty. This is crazy.
Let's talk a little bit about gun newbies.
Gun newbies, nice.
Yeah. So let's say someone doesn't have a gun. They've never really shot it before. They want to buy their first gun. Good. What would you suggest they do to start?
I would suggest they come to our Defensive Pistol 1 course and click the rental option. And what we're going to do, we're going to put several guns in your hand, see what you like. And then we're going to allow you to take a picture of that gun. So you can take that gun to the gun store and buy that gun. I do not support the idea of people just going to buy guns before they take a class. Because I want you to know what you like. Because you go drop $500 on something that doesn't feel good, you're probably not going to practice good. You're going to be mad that you made the purchase.
And for those folks who aren't in the DFW area or aren't in a city where O is traveling that weekend, you can go to a lot of gun ranges and rent guns there as well. So just see what gun ranges are near you and if they have rentals available.
Definitely.
I actually did that when I trained with Tasha, and I was like, oh, this is great. I get to try it. She was right. Like, oh no, try this one. You might like this one. Like it was definitely worth it because I knew exactly what I was going
to
get.
Right. And we also have a firearms console that we developed to where Tasha, especially for the Queens, Tasha will literally go to the gun store with you just to keep the idiot from behind the counter from heckling you and bothering you and making you buy something you don't want. Mm. Yeah, so she will literally go to the gun store with you to make sure that you get what you need.
Nice. You talked a little bit about keeping your insurance up. I think a lot of people don't, especially if you're in a state where you don't have to really go through a course or you don't do like a concealed carry course or something like that, they don't know about the legal side. Mm-hmm. And the responsibility of shooting your firearm in a situation, mm-hmm. especially if mm-hmm. you shoot your firearm into mm-hmm. somebody. Can you talk a little bit about what that side looks like and some things that they should probably take into consideration?
Sure. And I'll get with Mick after this so we can put the link down there so that you all can click on the link and use the passcodes and all that kind of stuff. USCCA is amazing for what they do. And I thank you for saying that, Jen, because it's long before you actually shoot that gun. You pull that gun out of the general populace, we got legal issues to deal with. Okay? Whether or not you pull the trigger or not, we still got legal issues to deal with. You pull the trigger, we got like 6 different legal issues to deal with. Right? However, the expensive part of it is the courts. You shoot that gun downtown, outside, or even in your home, everybody goes downtown. Everybody puts on the chrome bracelets. Everybody does the presidential escort. We might even give you a bath and take a nice picture of you when you're downtown as well. Okay, have that in your mind. Does that mean you're going to be locked up with a record forever? No. However, a gun was discharged in city limits. Someone was hit and or killed. We got to get to the bottom of it. So in the meantime, we're going to take that gun. We're going to sit you in a nice little suite. We're going to talk about it. Just have that on your mind. And USCCA, that legal insurance is there because you might have to miss work. Who's going to pay for that? You got bills. You know what I'm saying? Now, one thing I will say, what we do with USCCA, we actually teach how to go through this gunfight. It's a list of protocols all the way from the approach of a bad guy. From the approach of a bad guy to the not guilty verdict in the courthouse. There's a list of protocols and curriculum that we teach to support that.
Cool. So, I wanted to bring in a little bit of the chakras. I know when I've trained with you before, you talked about, you know, the Orishas, Ogun specifically being really important to you in your spirituality?
My throat chakra was right to hell open.
Tell us a little bit about your, you know, your spiritual journey, how much spirituality means for you and how it may even influence your work.
Amen. Spirituality is a huge thing. I've always been concerned about who my people worshiped before they got off the boats in those ports. Ellis Island in South Carolina, North Carolina, you know what I mean? Who were they worshiping before you made us worship Jesus? Right? Who were they worshiping when they built these pyramids that you can't figure out how they built them? Why are you all at the top secretly doing the same thing and telling us to do something else? That's where my journey began, young in age, you know? Then as I got into the understanding of what my ancestors were doing, I was like, okay, what is this? Wait a minute. Why is this religion stealing information from that religion they're trying to hide and tell us to do something else? Right? How does it help me? How does it connect me? And then realizing that all of these things are connected and they actually do help me in different facets. Everybody's different, right? And I learned the value of spirituality based on my personal walk and what I'm supposed to be doing, what my purpose is, you know what I'm saying, being aligned with my purpose. That was a big thing for me. And then learning that who we are as people gives us association to certain Orishas. I've been living this Ogun life for years before I even knew what an Ogun was. It is what it is. I've had like Reiki priests and people walk up to me like, bruh, like that whole Ogun thing? Yeah, that part. And then having a Reiki priestess and she telling me, yo, this chakra was closed. We need to open that one up because you're going through this, you're going through that. I'm just like, whoa. All right, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's fix these things. And then when you get them fixed, you know what? I'll admit, walking away from what I like to call your corporate religion and learning who you are, who your people are, it's scary. Let's not negate that. Because the people you love the most or the people you trusted the most are the people who taught you this, because that's the same thing they did. Right? And then you have to deal with the potential ridicule of those same individuals on days like Thanksgiving and Christmas, family dinner. Oh, my God, here come Auntie Jen. You know she a witch. Be careful. Don't leave your hair around her. You see what I'm saying? She got voodoo dolls hanging in the car window. Stop. And again, it goes back to what we were saying earlier. We fear what we don't know. And if we're taught a thing, we're going to keep teaching that thing because that's what we know. You don't know what you don't know. The question is, why don't you know? Did you close yourself off from the actual knowledge because it's going to make you feel like crap because everything you learned was not as true as you thought it was?
This is right on time. Oh, I don't know if you're familiar with this book, Know Thyself.
Yes. Mom, is that Mom Akbar?
Naeem. So Mick has been on me for like 2 years to read this book. It's been sitting on my desk and it came up on the last episode. And like Mick was really like, for real, like it's really starting to hurt my feelings. Like, you want to read this book? Like, you really need to read it. It's a short book. And so I started reading it yesterday and I'm already like, oh Lord. But I told him that was part of the reason why I said, I think I'm putting it off because as I unpack traditional Christianity for myself, it makes you confront some things that maybe you don't feel like doing right now. Maybe you don't want to be a little uncomfortable. But those are very real things that we have to unpack. And it, for the listeners, it opens up with just like education versus training. And, you know, education, it goes to this firearms conversation. It goes to identity. Education for a wolf is how to hunt, how to take care of itself. And so sometimes we focus on other things that maybe aren't bringing forth what we really need for survival. And that can be spirituality, that can be firearms, that can be a lot of different things.
And, you know, you can associate that with shadow work and mirror work, right? it's easy to sit here and point out what the hell Mick and Jen got wrong with them. But when O has to deal with O, oh wow. That's not actually a confidence builder, right? But unless you understand, perfect example, my Reiki priestess, bless her heart. I give her a hard time. I am probably her most stressful client ever. One day she's like, hey, I got some shadow cards we need to do. Are you okay? You ready to do it? I was like, what's the problem? It's going to tell you some stuff about yourself. All right, make me better. I can deal with it. You know what I mean? And a lot of people can't. True story, moment of transparency. A lot of people know this. I actually have a PhD in sacred theology. I did Emory University, the Yale University, University of Pennsylvania. I called home and I was pissed off. I called my dad. I said, Dad, every goddamn thing that y'all taught us was wrong. It's absolutely wrong. You know what he told me? Boy, that's why we sent you to school.
That's like the grown-up version of what my dad used to do with me. If I didn't know something, he'd say, go get an encyclopedia. Go get a dictionary, yeah. You know?
Yeah. it is what it is, but you got to understand. And my wife really, really broke it down to me. She's an amazing social worker. Oh, my God. She's amazing. And she pretty much, and I didn't understand it. She would always tell me, you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. I was like, no, we didn't have money like that. Why do you keep saying that? She said, no, it's not about the money. It's about you having access to information, and you having access to information was because your parents said, hey, go get this information. I don't know either, but we know how to find the information. A lot of you in the audience may not understand what I'm saying, but it's easy to tell somebody, well, just go to the library and look it up. But if you don't understand the Dewey Decimal System and how it works, you're not going to find anything in the library. And a lot of you who may not know what a Dewey Decimal System catalog back in the day, long time ago, used to walk up to this little shelf thing that's like a dresser. And you pull the little slide thing out. You have to thump through and find, okay, the book's going to be where? Okay, it's going to be in the, it's 239.45. Boom, put it back in your closet. You walk down to 239 and then so on and so forth. You find the book, right? But if you don't know how to do that, you'll never find the information. Mm-hmm. So when someone says, go look it up, it's where? This is before Google, right?
Yeah.
And Yahoo and all that kind of stuff. And even then, you got to know how to properly sift through and vet that information to make sure it's good. Because there's a lot of propaganda out there.
Yep.
Fair? So it's a thing. My journey is just as enlightening as it is entertaining. Because I learned more about myself. I learned more about my purpose. And I love it. Yeah.
I do just want to note that was exceptional memory recall of looking something up in the library. Like I was there. And I have not seen that little dresser in years.
So, we ask all of our guests this question around bug out bags. I know you know what a bug out bag is and everything that goes in it. So I'm sure yours is well stocked with all the essentials that you need. You got your knife, you got your matches, you got everything you need. But what's that one thing that's like personal to you that, you know, maybe I wouldn't have in mine or Jim wouldn't have in hers that you got to have in your bug out bag?
It is going to be a Drew Estate cigar, probably the acid line, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And I'll probably have some Glenlivet in my bag too. That's that Scotch, Glenlivet Scotch, 18-year reserve.
O told me one day we were training. He was like, man, in my car bag, if there's ever anything that goes down, I got that cigar in there. But when everything's over with, I'm going to smoke it.
I'm going to sit right there and I'm going to tell the police everything he knew for that report. Right?
Well, thank you so much for being a guest on our show. We truly enjoyed it. As we're leaving off, where can people find you?
Yes, bodybyotactical.com. That is the main website. You can hit us on Patreon at patreon.com/bodybyotactical. Instagram is BodyByO318. Twitter, BodyByO318. Facebook, BodyByOTactical. That's where you can reach us.
And I know I mentioned it earlier, but you do road shows where you come out to different cities.
Yes.
Is there a city that's coming up that you want to plug and let folks know?
Yes. By the time this comes out, we should be hitting up Chicago, Detroit. We're going back to Miami in November. St. Louis is coming up on the docket. Central Florida is coming. I think Atlanta is coming. Philly's coming again. LA is coming again. Phoenix is coming again. It's a lot of cities. The best thing for everybody to do, go to bodyballtactical.com, click on the courses near you tab, and then you'll see us following in.
All right. Dope. Sounds good, man.
We'll put all of that in the show notes.
We want to thank O again for taking the time to chat with us. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed talking to him. It was a blast, and his story is so interesting.
Absolutely. So we're going to get out of here, guys. As always, if you have a question, please email us at chakrasandshotguns@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. If you'd like to join our Chakras and Shotguns community, you can support us on Patreon. And finally, if you're loving the show, please subscribe and give us 5 stars wherever you listen.
Namaste.